At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
It's not just motivation that will help. When you're really, really motivated to do something, you need to understand that the motivation will fade away. It always fades away. What lasts is habit.
Enter the Akyong Podcast.
Akyong Podcast.
India's first and very own architecture podcast, where you'll hear the insights, experiences, and journeys from India's leading architects. No matter what your skill level is, together we'll build on our knowledge and share architecture's greatest stories ever told. Now, here's your host, Manish Paul Simon.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Akyong Podcast. Now, before I head to today's episode, I just want to share that the coronavirus is rapidly spreading and we need to do our part to contain this virus. Please avoid large gatherings and public places. Always use a face mask while going out. Always have a hand sanitizer in place. And also try avoiding your relatives or friends who come from overseas until they've been quarantined and given the clear green signal of not having the virus. This is a pandemic and it's really worrying, but I'm sure as humans, we can overcome this. Now, with that said, I'm super stoked to be sharing this episode with you guys because it's also going to be a stress buster. We're going to have a lot of interesting things to talk about. This is, of course, the founder of Blessed Ark, Rishabh Wadhwa. Now, if you don't know what Blessed Ark is, please head to Instagram right now and search for Blessed Ark. That's B-L-E-S-S-E-D-A-R-C-H. Rishabh shares daily content on architecture and he does it with so much of passion and energy that you'll feel drawn in right from the first video you'll watch. So I would definitely advise you guys to go check it out. And in this episode, Rishabh is going to be taking us on his journey, how he got into architecture, his time at Manipal Jaipur, and how he eventually branched out into content creation and started this amazing page called Blessed Ark. There's so much to learn and I'm sure you're going to get inspired by the end of the episode. So for more on the episode and podcast show notes, head to arkgyan.com/34. Please do follow us on Instagram. We go by the handle of arkgyan and also support us on Patreon. We got two new courses for you guys, which will definitely help you in your architectural career. With that said, this is a Blessed Ark episode with Rishabh Wadhwa. He starts off by sharing how he got into architecture. Let's go.
Okay, so I think right off 10th grade, because it's like in 11th, we had to choose a stream. And I think back then I decided I wanted to do architecture. Why I decided, I don't know. I just really wanted to do it. And so I did. I think I decided back in 10th and I went into 11th and 12th with the sole intentions of pursuing architecture. And I did. So like after 12th, I applied to colleges everywhere. The only problem was in 11th and 12th, I was not in CBSE, but in Cambridge Board. So what that meant was, so Cambridge Board's result do not come in like May. Yeah, that May is where the results come, right?
Yeah.
The Cambridge Board results come in like October.
Oh.
So I did not have my 12th result while taking admission. So that was a huge sort of a setback for me, for most colleges. And where I finally ended up in Manipal, Jaipur. And that is where I studied architecture.
No, but since you did Cambridge, why did you end up doing architecture in India, bro? You should have gone like abroad and all, right?
So that was the original plan. But then some circumstances I had to apply in India. And my parents sort of grew emotional overnight. And they're like, you're not going to a separate country to study, at least for undergrad, you're here. I'm like, arre? But they're like, ab India mein apply karo. So there were things and finally I ended up here.
And what were your first thoughts on architecture school when you joined? Was it like a happy place for you or was it like more like, what am I doing here?
I don't think it was of what am I doing here. I'm trying to recall. I think I loved being there. A lot of people, they tell, I mean, I hear a lot of first years, at least they message me, a lot of them, I feel a lack of motivation and I feel like crying and what have I done to myself? And I get messages like these and I'm like, first year toh was for enjoying, na? Like, I genuinely enjoyed my first year. What is it? First year is like playing with shapes, painting, making collages. And the history you learn is basic stuff. So I don't think first year there's anything really tricky. It's just all fun. So I think I really enjoy. As soon as I joined architecture college, I really enjoyed it, and because it was like an art and craft class extended. Like the whole thing that I'm studying is only art and craft. So I think it was really fun for me.
And you were also into painting and all that, right? I've seen few of your videos where you've done a painting of your parents and all that. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. So I used to love painting. Thank you so much.
All right. Could you give us some background on what it's like studying in Manipal School of Architecture? This is in Jaipur, right?
Yes. You're putting me in a tricky spot, but I will tell you. I will not say it's so Manipal, I think, so right now it's one of the costliest colleges out there. So I'll at least put that out.
Okay.
And to be honest, I don't think you get worth your investment in the college. But I can tell you that infrastructure wise, we were not lacking anywhere. Like Manipal, you had the opportunities to do everything. They had a lot of infrastructure to support whatever you wanted. The only downside was because it was also a college that had such a high fee. Most of the students that were in the college, at least at my time and some of my juniors were, they were not really interested in going deeper into architecture or doing more or understanding more and pushing yourself more, even though the infrastructure was there. So a few of us who really wanted to, explored it to the best and used the infrastructure to the best of our capabilities. But other than that, I think, so because when we joined Manipal, it was also a new college. We were the second batch and there was just one more batch above us. So the teachers were new. It took a little while. By the end of fifth year, I think our college also got the hang of it. I think it was getting into the zone with all of us. And by the end of it, it was much better than it was at the start. And I think it's much better today, but it's still, I think, a very expensive college. So if anybody want to join Manipal, I would...
Not recommend.
I don't know. I will not say that, but do keep things in mind. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, even now, a lot of us can probably relate to that, but that's what happens if you study in most architecture schools in India, I guess.
I hope even from Manipal are not listening to this podcast.
All right. So could you tell us briefly about, generally after graduating, you work for an architect and then architecture is a very long career, right? But you seem to have taken a different path. So could you tell us about how you came up with this idea of starting Blessed Arc and what helped you grow so much in a short span of time?
So I'll tell you. I started Blessed Arc when I was actually back in at the end of second year. So third year start. That is when I started Blessed Arc. And so what happened at that time, I think I was really inspired by YouTubers like Lily Singh, Trevor Noah, Casper Lee. So basically, I just started a YouTube channel where I was like, I'll also try and make these YouTube videos. And that is what I was doing. I made a lot of videos in my college time as well, but it was mostly just fun stuff. And, you know, typical how YouTubers are everywhere. I just used to make stuff like that. What I saw was by the end, like towards here also, I understood that people were more like the views and everything and engagement on my channel was more towards things that I had done on architecture rather than anything. So I got most of my views on everything that was architecture related. And so it became clear to me that people wanted this kind of type of content because nobody out there was doing it, like making content exclusively for architects or architecture in general. So I decided to make more of that. The only thing was I was studying architecture, which I'm sure everybody who's in your audience also knows is, even while studying, it's a full-time job. Like doing things 24/7.
Yeah.
So I used to somehow find time to do to make videos, but also it got less and less in higher years. So what happened was when I was in Chandigarh, so my internship is the last semester. And so in Manipal at that time, the internship used to be the last semester. So I was in Chandigarh at Studio Ardet. I was doing my internship there. And by the end of it, the boss there, architect Prerna Kaleru. So on the last day, we had sort of they had given us a farewell sort of a thing, all the interns. And on the last day, she said to me that, Rishabh, you have a lot of energy. The only thing is you spend your energy in a lot of different directions at the same time. She said, if I really believe if you take all of that energy and put it into one thing, you can go really ahead. I think she was talking about architect, I'm not sure.
Okay.
But I was like, you're right. I could put all of my energy into one thing. So till then, also I had come up with a concept of Archiviews, and I had taken an interview of Badrinath Kaleru, who's the chief architect of Studio Ardet. So I want to interview architects and do like a series. So what happened was I made that video, and so I came home and I talked to my mom and dad. So after I came back from the internship and I took a little bit of break. Also at that time, what had happened was I had won a competition because of which I had to go to Venice in September.
Yeah.
So I sort of stalled and was like, I'll find a place to work after I come back from Venice, because any which way I have to go to Venice in a little while. So I was stalling like that, and I was making the content that I wanted to make. And then before going to Venice, I genuinely sat with my parents and I told, especially my dad. So I said, and this was an idea that I got from Lily Singh again.
Okay.
So she had the same conversation with dad. And so basically I told him that I want to create content. I want to make videos. And I know that it is a relatively very new thing, but give me a year, like from the time I finished my graduation, just give me a year till the end of that. And if I can make something of it, I would pursue it. If I can't, I would go back to pursuing architecture. So he said, all right, take a year to try stuff, to what you want. And if it doesn't work out, you're going, you're either studying more or you're going and working under somebody. I said, done. So at that time, then I was making more architecture videos, and also at that time, to sort of earn a little bit of money, I started making videos like ads for people,
right,
and just company videos for somebody else. So I started getting a little bit of money with that. So my dad was really happy ki aise nithalla hi nahi baitha sirf.
And your parents are helping you out financially as well, right?
Yeah. I was living back. I was back home. It was all dependent on my parents.
No fuss and all that at home.
No. So after I talked to them about the 1 year, they were like, but they used to tell me ki saal khatam hone, I mean, the year is coming to an end. Just make sure it's 2 months away. It is 3 months away. So they used to keep telling me this.
Okay. So you had like a proper deadline. I think that's a good tactic which most of us can follow with our parents.
Yeah, for sure. I think because at the end of the day, I am all for following your passion, but you need to understand that your passion also needs to help you monetarily. You need to be financially independent.
Yeah, absolutely. And so yeah, you're telling us about, you know, the importance of having monetizing what you're passionate about, right? Yeah, and deadline.
So at the end of the day, it you need to sort of understand that your passions need to help you earn money. Mm. That is really important. Mm-hmm. And so this deadline tactic was really nice because it was beneficial in two ways. One, it gave me some freedom, some time to do what I wanted and kind of explore how I want to do it and how is it going to work. Secondly, I would have known by the end of that deadline, I was giving it everything I had got. I was trying everything I could. Mm-hmm. And so I knew if nothing happens by the end of that deadline, I knew that I had given it everything that I've got and it didn't work out, but that was not up to me. Things working out is not up to me. Giving it my best is certainly is. So I would have given it my best by the end of that deadline. If nothing worked out, then fine, I'd be an architect. And so that is also the mindset that I had.
Right,
like
right.
For a year, give it everything you have. So within this year, as this year was going on, I had because I wanted to be a content creator. So what I'd done, I had actually applied to Men's XP, Scoop Whoop, BuzzFeed.
Oh, nice.
I'd applied everywhere. I got an audition for Men's XP as well. And then they stopped picking my calls and didn't call me back. So I think it went nice.
Audition for a video creator.
Yeah, I think at that time they were auditioning for a specific series and not a video creator at Men's XP in general.
Right, right.
And I think for that specific series, even though I did a lot of things at their auditions, they made me the same lines I said angrily, I said crying, I said trying to make them laugh, and they were laughing, everybody who was in the room.
Oh, nice.
But I guess I just wasn't fit for the part.
Mm-hmm.
So I tried auditions. So I was trying everything, by the way. And let me tell you the story. This is a story that keeps going down and down and down and down. And at the end, it suddenly goes up.
Right.
Like somehow, I don't know.
All right.
So
there were a lot of lows.
Yeah. There were like the journey was full of lows. And you need to accept that. I mean, you can't just expect to make your first video and be like a million subscriber YouTuber. It doesn't work like that. So one good thing that was coming out of it was, I think by the end of November or mid of November, I was watching Nas Daily videos a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really inspired by what he was doing. And at that time he was doing his 1,000 videos in 1,000 days. So one video every day, a minute.
That was crazy, right?
Yeah. I mean, Nas Daily did, what he did was completely insane, like traveling around the world.
Yeah.
And his story is also amazing if you listen to it.
Okay.
So I was like, I can do something similar, part with architecture. Because I knew all my content with architecture was what was working.
Mm-hmm.
And that was what started Archifacts, the 1 minute facts that I put on Instagram.
Nice.
And I used to stick to the deadline and try and make one daily.
Oh, wow.
Not at the start. I was not as fast at the start. And the editing software Premiere Pro that I use now, I had just started using it back then. I did not know anything, like how to use it. There were so many icons. I was like, itne sare button ka, what do I do?
Yeah.
But slowly and steadily, I learned how to do it. I learned how to they make the audio better because I had no equipment back then, like no good equipment.
Mm-hmm.
So I was trying to make it better and better. And the Archifacts are what shot up my Instagram.
Right.
So slowly and steadily, I started hitting more and more numbers on Instagram. More and more people started loving my content and coming towards my profile. So that was the one good thing coming out of this whole journey is on Instagram, I was having a really good time. Not so much on YouTube, but Instagram was really good.
And you never ran ads, right?
I never ran ads. I think I've run one ad, but that was also that had very disappointing results.
Okay.
So I was like, I'm never running an ad again.
Okay.
Like I can organically get better reach than this.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that was the only time I ran ads. Now what happened was, so I was trying everywhere. I was trying everything and I was coming closer to my deadline actually. And I think it was just 20 days before my deadline. I was following this random page on Instagram. And on that page, there was this actor. I was following him also randomly.
Mm-hmm.
And he posted on his Instagram that I finally left that company and I'm looking for something new. So I texted him. Hmm. And I was like, I'm also looking for something new. And if you come across something, do let me know as well. I wanted to be a content creator as well. So he was like, send me your stuff. Like, what do you do?
Right.
So I sent him the link to Blessed Art, like my Instagram profile. So he loved what I was doing.
Nice.
And he was like, I may have something in mind. Let me get back to you.
Hmm.
I think he came back to me 2 days later.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, there's this company called Trip Machine Company, and they're looking for a content creator. And I think they really like you, and I think you will be perfect for them.
Nice.
So I was a little taken aback. This random guy, came back to me and he's like, you know what, I have this proposal for you. I was like, okay, I'll talk to them. And I think that very day, I had an interview with Sid, who is my boss now.
Hmm.
And the next day, we negotiated everything. And the next day, I had a job.
Nice.
And
that was not an architecture job, right? That was...
That is the content creator job.
Okay, okay. Cool.
He wanted me to be a content creator for Trip Machine Company. And we negotiated everything, and then I told my dad, this is happening and this.
Hmm.
And let me tell you, the salary that I was getting was more than I would get as an architect.
All right.
So that was one thing I think that my dad was like, is good.
Okay with it.
And he finally agreed.
Okay.
He was like, you know what, go for it.
But deep inside him, he must have wanted you to become an architect only, right?
I think he still does. Like, to this day, either become an architect or join the family business.
Mm-hmm.
Not just my dad, I feel like my mom as well. But they're seeing how much effort I put into Blessed Art.
Mm.
And it is getting results. They do see that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think deep inside, they have their... come back to us and do this.
And do you feel that now, after this 1 year stint that you had, that you're doing well with Blessed Ark and that you've started generating some revenue as well?
So from Instagram and YouTube, I would still say I'm not generating it. The revenue I'm generating is still next to nothing.
Hmm.
Especially from YouTube ads, like nothing comes at all. I get some from Instagram because of people who want to advertise on my page.
Mm-hmm.
But it is literally pennies. It is nothing. So my strategy is still to just make content to make it grow more and more. And then I think I would, if sponsors don't come to me, I would look for sponsors myself.
Mm.
But till that time, I have my job, like a proper job, that I get money from. So that it is not that big an issue.
But how do you manage your time now, since you have like a full-time job, right? Creating content and also keeping a job is a little difficult, right?
Yeah, yeah. Little is an understatement.
Okay.
Do you want to hear my schedule, like my day schedule?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
So I wake up at like 7:38 in the morning.
Hmm.
And I quickly get ready and get to my office. So my boss knows my plans with Blessed Ark, and he knows what I want to do.
Hmm.
And so he's very gracious. He's like, I before office times and after office time, I work on Blessed Ark in the office only.
Nice, nice.
He has no issues with that. So I reach my office as soon as I get ready and I wake up. I wake up and I get ready, and then I just reach the office and I start working on Blessed Ark.
Hmm.
And my office time starts at 10. So till 10, I'm working on Blessed Ark. From 10 to 6:30, I am working on the Trip Machine content.
Hmm.
And then, if I have to exercise I need to make sure I exercise every day as well.
Yeah.
And then my dinner time. So I think 6:30 to 8, on the days that I exercise, 6:30 to 8, I am out. I'm exercising, taking a bath and eating food and coming back. At 8, I'm again back at the office.
Okay.
And then I'm here till like 12.
Oh, wow.
And after 12, I pack up and then I go home. I browse things on social media because I need content for the next day. And then I fall asleep. So I still manage to get like 7-8 hours of sleep. I still manage to get exercise in. I keep really good care of my diet, because I know I'm working really, really intense hours. Because if I'm not sleeping or eating, I'm mostly just working.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is my schedule on Monday to Saturday. On Sunday, I am like the same schedule, but Sunday I'm doing Blessed Duck work all day.
Oh, wow. Don't you have any social life?
It is on the brink of completely dying out.
Okay.
I still hold on to things somehow. And I meet friends whenever people are in town. I make time for people. I do try and make time for people.
Hmm.
But I think by now people have understood that he loves working more than a lot of things.
Hmm.
So they don't hold it against me if I don't make it to some events or don't come to some get-togethers. But then at the end, I do make time for people as well.
And I think staying with your parents helps, right? In terms of food and...
I'm not staying with my parents anymore.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
So my parents are back in Jaipur. So I stay in Gurgaon now.
Oh, nice. So you manage everything on your own plus... So
I think staying away from parents is what helps me with my schedule is... I think when I'm alone managing stuff, I can manage them much better than when I'm just surrounded by people. So I figure out a schedule for everything. There's a schedule for everything. There's a schedule for my daily routine. There's a schedule for how I'm going to post things on Instagram. There's a schedule for how I'm going to eat.
Oh,
there's a schedule for everything that I do.
Okay. Could you tell us about your eating schedule? Like, you cook and then you keep stuff in the fridge, like proper bodybuilder and all.
No, so... No. So, currently, I live in a PG. So, what I do is... But I don't eat all of their meals. What I do, because I used to be really, really healthy. So, I used to be really healthy back in... Even in college, I used to be really healthy. It is in the fifth year that I lost all my weight.
Hmm.
So I used to weigh 100 kilos. So it's much larger than my thesis time is when. But I did not just lose my weight because of the thesis. I consciously lost my weight. I did heavy diets to lose my weight and exercise. So since then, I follow intermittent fasting.
Mm-hmm.
So back then, I started with 16 hours. So intermittent fasting, you don't eat anything for 16 hours and you eat whatever you want in the 8 hours.
Oh, wow.
And today in recent times, I've increased it to 18. So I don't eat anything for 18 hours and I eat anything I want in 6 hours.
Whoa.
So basically, I start eating at 2 p.m. and I end eating at 8 p.m. And my first meal at 2 p.m. is a salad. So basically, I just go out and get all some vegetables that I want and I just put them together and toss them in the office only. So every day, my first meal is a salad and that fills me up for most of the day.
Hmm.
And then I just have the dinner that they give me at PG, which is pretty nice.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So I think that, and if I want to eat something in between, I do. But I think that pretty much, and because of that, I think my eating schedule is pretty eased out. I don't have to stress about cooking anything. There's no stress about what to eat. I seriously get decision fatigue in deciding what to eat, but now that I've put down that I'm eating salad every day, there's no choice whatsoever. It sort of helps me make other choices in life.
Yeah. So let's backtrack a bit. Like, how did you come up with the name Blessed Ark?
Yeah. So that is a To be honest, I don't remember.
Okay.
There are a lot of things in my life that happen where I just feel very blessed, if that makes sense. There are a lot of ways I feel like somehow things work out, somehow everything falls into place, and it falls into place quite nicely. And I think I have felt like this always. And so I think that is where the blessed part of the name came from. And Ark was just because architecture. So it's like, you know what, blessed Ark.
Nice. And you post a lot of content, right? And you said that you browse through social media to get find content. But how do you come up with content every day? maybe you probably have like some idea book or something which you store ideas to create content.
So this is for especially for the video content part is the daily facts. So I love researching new stuff. Like I send me 200 more facts that I can make videos on. So what I do is I collect these facts in like bulk and I keep them with me. And then I shoot in bulk, like at least 6 to maximum. Maybe I've shot 18 in a day. So 6 to 18 I shoot together. And then I just edit them day by day. And that is how I bring them out. But so there are days where I just sit and I'm like, today I'm going to find content. So I sit and I scour the internet and just pick out everything that is interesting. And it is basically just going, people ask me, how do you do it? It's basically just going web page by web page, reading each. I've gone to page 20 on Google and searched through the web pages. And I read each and everything that is on that web page to find out the content. And I just love doing that.
And you consolidate everything into a 1 minute video.
Yeah. Now I've let it go to like, I think maximum it touches 2 minutes because I felt like by 1 minute there was a lot of information that I had to leave out to fit it in that minute.
Yeah.
And since the introduction of IGTV, I think it has become easier. So I just put the videos up on IGTV and make it longer than a minute, maybe minute 30, 2 minutes, something like that.
And now you're putting all your energy only on Instagram more than YouTube, right?
So, yeah, because IG, again, it's daily and my daily videos are not working on YouTube. I'm still trying to find things that will work on YouTube. I have a faint idea of what can work really well on YouTube, but I'm a little scared of doing those topics because of the sheer research that they would require. But I'm going to pick it up. So I think YouTube would always... I would say it would still remain a platform that I would not upload as frequently as IGTV, as I upload on IGTV. For, I think because I understand Instagram and how things are shared much better. And I think I've got the hang of Instagram much better than I still have of YouTube.
All right.
Which is a sad thing because YouTube is the one that pays. At least something, but it pays close to nothing, but that is the one that pays. And I was so happy that they are testing IGTV monetization.
Yeah.
So I'm so happy for that and hopefully that comes out soon.
And there's been good traction for IGTV, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And could you tell us about, so you've consolidated all these materials and then how do you start your work process? Like, maybe you put in like 2 to 3 hours of nonstop work and get a video done, or is it over over 2 days or 3 days period?
So if it is a longer format video, like things I put on YouTube, they might go into 2 days or maximum 3 days. The daily videos are finished within hours. So I think two and a half hours, I finish the video. That is not the recording part. The recording part I do beforehand. Just the editing part, it takes 2 to 2.5 hours. And once that is done, so the daily videos are much quicker. They're done daily.
Nice.
The YouTube videos take a little while.
And I'm sure the more number of videos that, like the sheer number of videos you've done, now the number of retakes that you take must be less, right?
Oh, I do it in one take now though.
Yes.
Like I figured out ways to do it much, much faster. Nice. When I started, it used to take me half an hour to shoot, half an hour to more, and more than that, like 45 minutes to shoot one video, and now 1 minute and it's done.
Yeah. You're saying how long it takes you to, how many retakes it took you, right?
Yeah. So when I started, I used to, from half an hour to 45 minutes to shoot one minute of video. And now I just finish it in like 6-7 minutes.
Oh, nice.
So I've gotten much faster with time.
I think that's because you've persevered and the practice that you keep putting in every day, you sort of build a pattern, right?
Yeah. Exactly. I think it's for everything. People ask me about things, how do I learn this and how do I learn that. And not just like things related to content, but anything. And I think all of these skills are something that you can develop. Premiere Pro was something I'd never used before. Now I use it like...
like a pro.
Sorry. Yeah, exactly. I mean...
Premiere Pro Pro.
Exactly.
Do you use even After Effects?
I use After Effects. Not as much, but I do use After Effects. So I think with time, if you give time to anything, you can get better than anything you want. It just... It doesn't require extraordinary effort. It just requires regular effort. That is what is important. So you don't have to put in 12 hours a day to just one software. But I think what is more important is you need to give 2 hours a day every day to that software. Mm. And in that way, you can learn much more than just in a 1-12 hour sitting.
Do you feel that it's important just to stick to one thing that you want to achieve rather than do multiple things? Do you still feel that way?
So honestly, you can do multiple things as well. The only problem is, if those multiple things are time consuming, there'll be a point where you will be, if you are successful in both, you'll be so damn fatigued in life. Hmm. You might not have time for anything else if you're succeeding at. So you're doing two amazing, completely separate things. So if I was an architect and I was doing content creation and if I was being good at both, like amazingly good at both, I would tell you, I would barely be getting any sleep. Mm. I would have a very bad health. I would be living with my parents and still have no time to meet them, no time to go out with my friends. And that is simply the fact that you have a limited amount of energy and limited amount of time in a day. Within that time, you need to find a balance. And that is why I try and sleep better every day. I try and eat better every day. It's because you need to understand if you're not sleeping and eating better, and if you're not sleeping and eating right, you will not be able to do what you love to your fullest extent. And that is one of the reasons why I keep my schedule the way I do, is because I keep on doing it at my full extent, like giving it my all. And I know, like, after my office, I get really tired. And that is why I place my exercise after it, so that the body gets a little rejuvenation again and I can work for like some more hours after that. So it's just, you can try and walk on multiple paths, but you will get further if you just keep walking on one path with more energy.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure that Blessed Arc is helping a lot of architecture students. What has been your experience? Maybe if someone has reached out to you, or your experience teaching indirectly through Blessed Arc?
Yeah. So I do get a lot of people who come up to me, who DM me, who message me, and I'm thankful to each and every one of them. They bring all sorts of queries. One person literally was asking me Nata questions. He's like, out of these four options, which is the correct one? Which was a little too much. People, please don't come to me with that. But other than that, I think people have come to me with a lot of their problems. Not just related to architecture. Obviously, I discuss thesis with anybody who wants to discuss thesis or design projects. I discuss a lot of things with people, and they give me, I mean, people bring to me amazing ideas. And then they sort of tell me how they're trying to develop it. I give them some more ideas on how they could. So that always keeps happening. There are some messages that I get about people in depression, because I think it is something that I have gone through as well. In my fourth year is when I have been at my lowest point in life. And when I say lowest point, I mean like really, really low, like looking down at the balcony low.
Wow.
So from there, and I think from my fifth year is when I turned my life around completely, is when I started. And that was the time that I was telling you that I lost all my weight as well. It's because I consciously did all of that. I consciously did a lot of things to change my life. So when people message me about how they're low or everything that they're going through, I can sort of relate. And so I talk to them. I try and encourage them. And a lot of people tell me I want to quit. And I don't just dismiss them or don't just say, yeah, go and quit. I try and tell them the options and realistically tell them the options. What would happen if you quit now? Mm. Or what would happen if you don't quit now? I tell them both. And because ultimately I can't decide for somebody else, but I can surely lay out the options in front of them.
That's awesome, Rishabh. I think depression is a problem in a lot of, I mean, at least in some architecture colleges, and it's not spoken that much, right? So
yeah, for sure.
It's good that you've taken that initiative and helped out like few of the students who I think personally even I had my dose of depression. So
yeah, I think a lot of people go through like really, really bad lows. Hmm. And what a lot of people don't understand is, and I think why it is widespread in architecture or any other design field or maybe filmmaking or medical professionals as well. Hmm. The reason this is so widespread, a lot of people don't understand, is your brain ultimately is made up of things, is made up of chemicals. Hmm. Is even though what you're feeling is not something that you can, you know, it's not something physical, but what you're feeling through is very much physical. Hmm. And what a lot of people don't understand is what a diet or a lack of exercise does to your mind. Since my fifth year, that is why I try and I meditate each day, I exercise each day, I eat right. And since then, it's like till then when I was trying to feel happier, it was with half my brain already on a bad track because of all these things. Once I got everything else into place, it was like the ground was fertile once again. All I had to do now was just like plant again, and it can grow into a nice garden. But you need to understand, you need to take care of your body to ultimately take care of your mind as well. So I think I try and tell that to people as well. They might find it a little weird that they've come to me with a problem where they're telling me this is happening in my life and that is happening and I am so low and my boyfriend left me and this and that. And I tell them, eat right, sleep on time. Like, I'm typically telling them what their parents tell them. But I've come to realize, like genuinely realize, that the advice actually helps. Mm-hmm. Like, it genuinely does. I don't drink coffee. Like, I've cut down all caffeine from my life because I know now how that affects my mood. Like, I do experiments with myself. I see if that thing is affecting my mood, I stop it for some days, then start again, see the difference. And if I see that it is making my mind go up and down, like, take that thing off the table.
All right. So you never smoked pot and all that in college?
Oh, of course I did. Okay. I won't send the link of this podcast to my parents, so I can tell you. In third year, I think my third year, I was high for the whole year. Like, genuinely, I was high for the whole damn year. I was also very, very sad my third year. Hmm. Like, let me tell you that. But I was then, I think that is why I was high for the whole year, is because I was sad. It was sort of a coping mechanism. But I was genuinely high for the whole year.
Yeah, I think that's part of the education.
Yeah. I used to, so not just smoke up, I used to smoke a lot as well.
Okay.
Like, back in college. Don't do it anymore. But back then, though, a lot.
And do you feel this sense of change before you started Blessed Arc and to what you've achieved so far, and maybe even a transition towards something else in the future?
Wait. Before we come to this part, the smoking up part, have you ever got any ideas when you were smoked up for your like design?
Okay, this is the first time I'm talking about pot on the podcast.
Smoking up on.
Yeah, of course, bro. Like, all the mad ideas that we've got is from the high.
Like a lot of people is, tell me they get.
The thing about my,
like they get.
Yeah, the thing about my thing was whenever I got high, I used to just, you know, munch on something or probably watch something and just pass out.
So, yeah. There were
a few instances where I sit and like draft and all that, but then later you just get bored of it and then, you know, just munch away or go smoke up some more, I guess.
For me, I think there was just one. Like there was one time I was so stuck on a plan and things were just not making sense. And I smoked up that night and I worked straight for 4 hours. By the end of it, the whole thing was resolved. Like the design is here. We have arrived. But that just happened once and never again.
Yeah, but I don't recommend it because sometimes when you do, you might mess up the plan and then you'll get hammered in the jury.
Yeah. Kids don't do drugs. So back to your question is, so I think to me it has been an amazing journey and I've seen it evolve. Like when I started Blessed Dark, I had a different thing in mind of what I wanted to be like as a YouTuber, and as Blessed Dark has progressed, I understand how that keeps changing. And with that, my content keeps changing. With that, my style of presentation keeps changing. I think I do have a goal. I do have a path. But then if I understand there's time to change things, I change them. And so it has been quite different from what I thought. And the plans I have for Blessed Dark are, again, very different from what Blessed Dark is today. Like I want it to become a full-fledged organization with not just me, but people in it and people doing a lot of things, not just what I'm doing today. Today I'm able to, like, I do what I'm able to do. And because that is also because I have to do everything. I have to record. I'm the one who's editing. I have the one who's to take care of light. I'm the one who has to make sure the mic is on. And if I leave it off, which has happened sometimes, I just have to re-record the whole thing again. Because I just can't use the audio anymore.
Yeah, that happens.
So there are a lot of things that I'm taking care of. My mind is all over the place. Plus, I also have a full-time job. So I think I'm not able to do everything that I can for Blessed Dark right now. But in the future, I want to be able to, one, devote all my time to it. And then grow it enough to have more people on it. And then... like I genuinely want to not just, I want to travel with people. I want to interview more and more people. I want to discuss projects. Like I genuinely want to create, I want to take Blessed Dark forward and create a much bigger platform for not just myself, but other people. Like I genuinely want other people to come and be a part of that video series, like in front of the camera as well. So I want to do that, but it would take, I know it would take time. It would take a lot of effort. So I'm slowly trying to get there.
Do you feel that more people, I think 90% of the students in an architecture college don't end up, I mean, half of them do, half of them don't, but do you feel in the future that most of us would branch off and in a way it might help the architecture education as well?
See, I know a lot of people branch off, and I think because there's also, to be honest, what I'm doing today did not, in India, did not exist as a job till maybe 7 and 8 years ago. Like when I was just out of school, it did not exist. So I think, but nowadays people in school are also, I mean, they're getting to know about a lot of things that are out there. So I think people who want to, and I think through my channel and through my upcoming videos, I want to tell people about how exactly the profession works. And a lot of people do ask me about salaries of architects, the scope of architecture, and what all is the future. And I genuinely want to get all that. I'm trying to create videos on that, those exact topics. And I genuinely want to get that information out to people so that they can make wiser choices about their careers in life. Wait, what was the other part of your question?
Yeah, also like how your platform is helping the architectural education system, right, in India, in a way.
Yeah, so So to be honest, when I was studying architecture, I'm going to be genuinely honest. I think we were taught a lot of things that, obviously, I'm not working as an architect. Mm. So a lot of it wasn't of any use to me today. But I think even when I was doing my internship and how much ever I've gathered about the practice, I genuinely don't think a lot of it was useful at all. Like, it was things I did not need to know.
Hmm.
And I think that is what my take is on that COA's decision to put PCM compulsory for architecture students. I just don't understand why that is, because like, what part of physics and chemistry do you need? There's just one structures where everybody, I'm going to put it out there, everybody just copies from that one child who has learnt everything.
Hmm. Yeah, first of all, the course duration itself is so long, right?
Yeah, exactly. I've had this talk with people where I say, do you think we need five years of education? Like, there's not anything amazingly extraordinary that you create after 5 years. You still have to learn a lot more.
Hmm.
So, and there is a lot of scope to just decrease that.
Yeah, absolutely.
The course length. And take out a lot of things that are not needed.
Hmm.
So, I think architecture education is quite lacking. And what I want to do with BlessDark is try and give a part of education that is still not even taught in colleges.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to the field, and that is what I realized on my internship, is obviously in the 5 years you are taught how to design. But other than that, you are barely taught to do anything.
Mm. Yeah, it's this very subjective wavy thing, but in reality you don't even come close to what you taught in architecture school, right?
Exactly. And I think designing of a project is like, what, maybe 25% of that project.
Yeah,
like, other than that, then you have to getting that project made is the 75% that you're not even taught in college.
Yeah.
Dealing with people is something you're never taught in architecture college, because you're always working alone. I used to hate working in groups when I was in college. And today I understand how important that is.
Yeah, it's very important.
So it used to infuriate me back in college. Yeah, so a lot of things in architecture colleges are not taught. And I think we're not happening in the field.
Hmm.
And I want to try and get people to that with BlessDark. Like, make this platform where... Yeah, so I want to get more people and I want to get a lot of information that is out there and constantly changing each and every day.
Hmm.
I want to get that information to a lot of people who are studying or pursuing architecture already, and make it a platform where you get your information about the world from.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what I'm trying to do with BlessDark.
All right. Do you feel that if you... got a chance to maybe go and work for an architecture firm and also create content, and would you give it a shot?
See, I know things better now, so I would never say never, because I understand, like, things change, and I can see circumstances where I can go back and work.
Hmm.
But that being said, I don't think that'd be a decision that I just take very willingly, because right now I'm at a very good place with creating content, and I'm learning more and more and more each day.
Mm.
And I genuinely think even if I'm, I can get more opportunities in creating content, in filmmaking, and like, make good money as well, not just barely scrape by. In architecture, I know if I get into the field again, it would take time. It takes time for the skill to build up, which I'll again have to start from scratch. So I can see circumstances where I would have to do that, or maybe I'd go willingly back as well, but I don't think those are like parallel universes for me. I don't think I would. I genuinely love what I do.
The reason I'm asking you is because do you feel that maybe if you work for a firm, the experience that you gain from an architecture firm could further enhance the content that you create?
So basically, I think what I got from your question was you were asking if I was in the field, I'd be able to make content that is more related to the field and better equipped for the field.
Yeah.
And that is true. To be honest, I'm going to be honest. I right now am, even though I have access to a lot of architects and I have access to a lot of people, I am still not giving you first-hand experience. I'm giving you somebody else's experience when I'm creating content and creating content about the field. Which is true. If I was working in the field, I'd be able to give you much better content. But I think by not being in the field and just creating content and getting your content from other people, I am able to give you, maybe I'm not able to give you the best first-time experience, but I'm giving you a varied experience because everybody's experience is different. So with that, when if I would be doing that, you would get one person's experience, like really nice, in a nice way, in a more detailed way, but one person's experience. Here, when I get things from architects and different architects, you see how differently, how different people are and how differently they work. And so you're getting different, you're getting opinions from a lot of different people and how they pursue what they want to do and how they go about doing it. So I think in not doing, in learning how to best present content, in learning how to best record stuff, edit stuff, I am understanding the art of storytelling. And then I think I'm letting other storytellers tell their story and I'm just helping them tell their story better.
Nice. Nice. Awesome.
Hannah, I write good scripts. Thank you.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. Storytelling in architecture, most of us miss out on, and it's great that you're taking this step.
Sorry. Thank you.
Let's quickly jump into the quickfire round and then I'll let you go.
All right.
All right. Is there any book that's inspired you or helped you in your path?
My path as a designer or like in general?
In general, I guess.
Any book that has helped me? I think... I forget. There's some... monk, his book, let's just say Sadhguru's book. I read a lot of help books.
Oh, okay.
Self-help books. Yeah,
cool. What type of music do you listen to?
I listen to pop. Like, I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. What is the best movie which you ever watched?
Ever?
Yeah,
that is a very, I can't give you an ever. Yeah, come on.
Okay, tell me your best movies then.
Okay, best movies. I think I really love Gone Girl. I love Dil Dhadakne Do. I love Good Will Hunting. I love Kuch Kuch Hota Hai.
Nice. What would you have done had you not taken up architecture?
I think... maybe journalism or filmmaking, I think.
Okay. All right. So, Rishabh, what advice would you give for young architects or architecture students just coming out of architecture school?
So, I think the advice that I want to give is not just... it's not just advice for architect students or architects in general. I think it's advice for everybody. Is that if you really, really want to succeed at anything in life, you need to understand that... it's not just motivation that will help. When you're really, really motivated to do something, you need to understand that the motivation will fade away. It always fades away. What lasts is habit. You need to create a habit. So there's this line, I don't remember who said it, but the line says success is a habit. You need to understand that you need to be at it and do each and every day what you really, really want to do and what you really love. There'll be days where you don't even want to do it yourself, but you need to understand that in the macro, in the larger picture, even though you do not feel like doing it today would eventually help you in your bigger picture. So you need to put in the effort each and every day. You need to be at it each and every day. And that is how you get successful at anything in life, just doing your part each and every day.
And don't smoke pot as well.
Yeah. Don't do drugs.
All right.
Mom and Dad, if you're listening, I don't do drugs.
All right, Rishabh, thanks for coming on to the show. It was a great session and I personally learned a lot. Thanks for talking to us about your journey and the importance of having an habit. What is the best way our listeners could get in touch with you?
So you can find me on YouTube, you can find me on Instagram, you can find me on Facebook by the name Blessed Arc. So that is BLESSEDARCH. And you can also on Instagram find my personal profile, that is That Blessed Human. And anybody who wants to talk to me can DM me. I reply to each and everyone. I might take some time, but I reply to each and everybody.
You've been listening to the Ark Young Podcast. We're still building the community. Please share this knowledge with someone you know who could benefit. Just send them to arkyoung.com, where you'll find our free newsletter and for more podcast episodes. Search for the show on any major podcasting platform. Don't forget to subscribe where you're listening right now. And if you liked it, leave a rating or review.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to aero hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.